Our reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 32, and it's verses 22 to 32. And it reads, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon."
Thank you, Casey. Good morning again. I'm going to move this over here. So this is quite an obscure passage, and quite like a lot of passages in Genesis, it's a little bit odd. And reading it from the vantage point that we're at now in the 21st century, it's kind of like, what's going on here? This Jacob, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, this man appears and starts wrestling with him, and they wrestle throughout the whole night. And it's just a bit of an odd story, really, in some ways. And Genesis is an interesting and odd collection of stories. And we talked last week about how in reading Genesis, what's really important is to remember what is happening in Genesis. What is this book about? What is this collection of stories about? And to remember that actually Genesis is probably a bit of a prequel. We talked about last week how when you watch a film, sometimes you watch this story unfold as a beginning, as an ending, and then all of a sudden, a few years later, a prequel is released that tells you the story behind the story, how it got to this point. And we spoke last week about how the history of Israel really is the history of Exodus, liberation from Egypt, God leading them out into a new land to become a people. And it's from that kind of vantage point that Genesis is written, as they look back on their history and try and make sense of who they are and where they've come from. And that's a bit of what's going on in Genesis. These stories are stories that to us sound a bit odd, but to the people of Israel give them meaning. Who are we? Why are we here? What are we all about? And so when we read the story of Jacob, we have to think, what is this saying to a people who have been liberated from slavery and are trying to find their identity in a new land? Latecomers to the party in many ways. Nations all around them much more powerful than they. But God forming them into a special people in the midst of that. So, Jacob wrestles with God. I like wrestling. That's a little confession for you. I'm not sure my wife even knows this. But I remember when I was a young lad, I used to love WWF wrestling. It's not real wrestling, really. It's entertainment. But I used to go around to my next door neighbor's house, who also loved it. And we would play out scenes. So our entry to the ring would be coming down the stairs into the living room. And we'd announce each other coming in, weighing in at 340 pounds. And I'd be, I don't know. And then he was older than me, so he'd inevitably decide that he was the winner. But actually, even after that, I always loved wrestling. I remember on my gap year, my roommate, Bert, who I'm going to say, he's 6'5". And I don't know whether I just like the challenge, but people used to come into our room and find us grappling on the floor. And it wasn't, we weren't angry with each other. We hadn't fallen out. We just loved that kind of struggle with one another, the kind of, you know, the tension. I'm not really sure why I'm telling you these stories. This isn't part of what I'm going to say. It's just to say that I resonate with this passage because I like wrestling. I like the grapple. I like the challenge, the exertion, the test of strength. In this passage, Jacob kind of represents a moment in Israel's history where actually Israel is almost born. His name is changed to Israel. And it's a crucial moment. And you can almost see this from the location of where this event happens. At this ford, this crossing over of this stream. It's a crossing point. It's a turning point. And Jacob is all alone in this moment, which we'll come to in a minute. And Jacob is given this new name, which is more than a name. We know that in the Bible, names often meant much more than just, oh, I like this name. It sounds good. They had a meaning. They had an identity about them. And it comes with a fight. And again, it's a crucial moment. It comes with this wrestling and a crossing over. Now, as always, it's important to understand a little bit of the background, isn't it? This passage, I noticed again, it started with that night. What night? What happened? What was happening here? If you don't know anything about this story, it's important to know that Jacob is a twin. Jacob has a brother called Esau, and Esau is slightly older than Jacob. He came out first, and Jacob came out grabbing the heel, apparently. And that's where he gets a bit of his name from. And this is a classic story that you see time and again in the Old Testament of this sort of sibling rivalry between two brothers. And Esau's born first, and he's covered in hair, and so Esau kind of just means hairy, basically, which isn't the most flattering of names. And Jacob comes out, and it says he grabs the heel, or he deceives. So again, not the best of names, identities. We've got hairy, and we've got he deceives. The twins. And their story is one of rivalry. Their mother, Rebecca, has a favorite, and it's Jacob, the younger brother. And two really key moments in their story are that the eldest son has the birthright, the rights to the estate, the inheritance, or most of the inheritance, and when their father passes away. He's the older brother, he's got those rights. And in the story, we're told that he sells his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. Really stupid. And Jacob says, thank you very much, and he takes the birthright. But then the second thing that happens between these two in this great rivalry is that Jacob steals Esau's blessing. When his father passes away, he prays a blessing upon the eldest son and confers to him this great blessing for the future, which is kind of this binding prayer, if you like. And Jacob's mother, Rebecca, wants Jacob to get the blessing. The younger son, he's her favorite. And so she covers him in this sort of hairy material so that his father will be tricked. And Isaac on his deathbed, eyesight's going, is tricked into praying a blessing on Jacob and conferring that blessing to him. And Esau is obviously furious and devastated by this. Jacob is in danger of his life, so his mother Rebecca finds out that Esau is planning to take revenge, to kill his brother, and she helps him escape to her brother Laban. Years later, they both have their families, they both have goods, and they've lived a lot of their lives, and it's time for Jacob to return home. To leave Laban, his father, his uncle, sorry, and to return, if you like, go back to the future, go back to where he's meant to be. And so this is where we take up the story today. This showdown, Esau, the brother he's tricked, is still in the land that Jacob is going to return to, his homeland. And Jacob is scared. He doesn't know what he's going to face there. How is his brother going to receive him? what's going to happen? And so he's at this stream, this river, if you like, and he's about to cross over into the land where his brother is. And he hears that his brother Esau is on his way with 400 men. A little army, that sounds like to me, doesn't it? Jacob gets that impression too. And he separates his family into different groups in case they encounter Esau on the way. And he gives them gifts, sends them with gifts to sort of greet Esau with, to appease him, to see how he receives these gifts. And as Casey read, on that night, the night before this big showdown, he sends everyone ahead of him, his possessions, his family. He's alone. He's alone on the other side of the river waiting to cross. That's really important. I think that is such a telling, poignant moment. Looking back into your history, I don't know about you, but I look back over my history. And at crucial moments, moments that maybe fill me with tension or fear, or they're just a crossroads moment, and it feels like I'm on the edge of something, about to cross over, not knowing what I'll face on the other side. And really, it's a moment where you feel alone. You feel like whatever you've achieved before, anything that you would count on as support or a crutch, has kind of gone ahead of you. You're alone. You're facing this in that moment, all alone. And it's a bit of a dark night moment. And in that moment, you face some questions, like, who am I really? Who am I before God? You don't have all that stuff that you would have relied on before. And moments like that, I think, can shake us, and they can shape us. And I think that's really what happens in this passage with Jacob. If I could sum it up, it's a shaking and a shaping. It reminds me of another moment in the Bible later on. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, kind of deserted, alone, facing this dark night of wrestling with God. And in that moment, his family have crossed over and Jacob is left alone. And we find this scene where this man suddenly appears out of nowhere and starts wrestling with him. Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd to read? They start wrestling. Who is this person? If you were here last week, we talked about these strangers appearing and Abraham entertaining them. And somehow in the midst of that, God was present. God was one of these people. And this is another story where this man appears, and by the end of it, we're led to believe that it was God. God was in the midst of it, or at least something of the divine. In Jewish tradition, this is an angel that Jacob is wrestling. And in the darkness of night, Jacob faces this fight, and he wrestles a man until dawn. I don't know about you, but in my darkest moments, they are often the moments that, one, I face a fight, I'm wrestling with something. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's a decision. I've had lots of those moments at crossroads in my life of wrestling, of struggling. And in those moments, often, I find that I meet God. That I didn't know it was God at first necessarily. I didn't know I would meet God there. But I do. I meet God there. But it's a wrestle. It's a struggle. But something happens during this wrestling. First thing that happens is Jacob is wounded. He's wounded, but he fights on. In this grappling, he won't let go. And the man touches the hip. And Jacob comes out of it with a limp. And the man says to him, as they've wrestled through the night, the man says to him, let me go, it's daybreak, let me go now. And Jacob says these words, which are so important, I think, in this story. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. For me, something is happening in this wrestling. Something new is emerging. That Jacob, the deceiver, Jacob, the one who tricked his brother, is becoming Israel in this wrestling, in this kind of honest grappling face to face with God. And so Jacob, the trickster, I don't think would have said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I think he probably would have tried some sly tactics to win this fight. But Jacob is being prepared for his future, for a new beginning. And he says, let me go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, I don't know what you think is going to happen next if you just read that story. What is this blessing? But what emerges is really interesting. The man says, what is your name? That's an odd thing to ask once someone said, give me your blessing. What's your name? And he says, Jacob. Everyone would have known what that meant. And the man says to him, you will no longer be Jacob. You will be Israel, for you have struggled with God and man and have overcome. Somehow, in that wrestling, in the wrestling of the dark night, a new identity emerges, a new name, a new beginning. You are no longer Jacob, the deceiver, the one who grabs the heel, the one who tricks. You are no longer that person. You are now Israel because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome. In the process of the struggling, in the process of the fight, of the wrestling, Jacob is changed, he's transformed, he's become someone new. In that dark night, the night before he's about to enter into a new season, a new beginning, a new struggle, if you like, he becomes a new man. And he's changed in the fight. And that is the blessing. The blessing isn't new land, new territory, more possessions. It's a new name. It's a new identity. Imagine you are Israel looking back on that thinking, everyone sees us as these newcomers to the party. We don't deserve any of this land or space. We don't even deserve to exist. Their story is one of exile and liberation and exile and time again. But to be told, no, you are born of God. You have a new name. You are blessed by God would have had so much meaning for this group of people trying to find out, hold on to some sense of identity in a world that's challenging them. And then, once that's happened, Jacob says to God or to the man, tell me your name. Really interesting. He wants to know this man's name. And what is the reply that he gets? Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. You know, I think back to some of my struggles in wrestling with God. And I remember one particular time really clearly. And probably the biggest wrestle of my faith came actually ironically when I was at Bible college. And that is often the case for people that are studying theology or the Bible, that actually they have a... Often you can have this crisis of faith where everything you thought you knew, you realize you start unpicking it. You're being challenged. You're being questioned. And it can be quite unsettling. And what you have to discover is that you have to live with mystery sometimes. That this God that we're dealing with isn't someone that you can package, that you can stick a label on and say, this is who God is and this is what God is exactly like. God reveals himself to us, but he doesn't fully reveal himself to us in a way that we can say, this is God. This is exactly who God is, and I know. And so Jacob finds in this wrestling that he's going to be blessed. He receives a new name, but he has to live with mystery too. He doesn't get the full picture. He's blessed in the midst of mystery. So what about us? This passage really spoke to me this week in the light of something else, really, that happened. You may have seen in the news this week that Robert Mugabe died. Robert Mugabe was the president of Zimbabwe. And he has a mixed legacy in history, depending on who you talk to. But he does anyway. Mugabe was a liberator back in the day, liberating his people from white minority rule in Zimbabwe. And so he was in this struggle for liberation and for freedom and for independence. But years later, he became someone with a record of terrible human rights abuses, of control and power and the exercise of authority. And it was a different kind of struggle that he entered into then. And what this story tells me and really speaks to me about is this, that often we are defined by the struggle that we enter into and the one we struggle with. You think about freedom fighters, they're defined by the things they wrestle with, that they struggle and contend for, whether for good or for bad. And in this story, Jacob's identity becomes Israel because he's one who enters into a struggle with God. That's the nature of that relationship, in a sense. And for many of us, it's the same with us. We're defined by the things that we struggle for, that we contend for. We need to choose our battles, and we need to choose the ones we battle with, because we can enter into struggles with all kind of things that take our energy, because wrestling is tough. Wrestling takes energy. It takes commitment. It's a struggle. And we're called to enter into a wrestle, a struggle, which means relationship, a grappling with God, and contend for things of worth. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for these incredible stories of struggle, of wrestling, of seeking to find who we are and what we're about. And God, that can be a struggle and a wrestling and a grappling. And Lord, for those of us struggling with all kinds of things in life this morning, and pray that we would find you in the struggle. For those of us that feel maybe alone in that facing some difficult nights, and pray that in the darkness of those moments, we would come face to face with one who seeks to bless us, that wants to bless us. And as a church, Lord, as we wrestle with our identity, who we are, what we are about, and who we're for, Lord, may we find ourselves not grappling with the wrong things, but grappling with the God who wants to bless us and give us a name and an identity. May we always be the ones that struggle with God in a good way. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. I just want to invite the worship.